Not Quite Right features discussions that are unfiltered and uncensored and may include themes that are inappropriate for younger listeners. Also, I swear a lot.
Something doesn't seem quite right.
Welcome to Not Quite Right. My name is Ed. And this is the seventh of a series of interviews that Amanda and I recorded at the Words on the Waves Writers Festival this year. This time, we're speaking with Natasha Rye. Natasha is the author of An Onslaught of Light, which is her first novel, and she was at Words on the Waves as part of the Power and Privilege panel. We spoke to Natasha about what it was like to publish her first novel and the role of power and privilege within the publishing industry. So please enjoy our conversation with Natasha Rye. So we're here at Words on the Waves with Natasha Rye.
Hello.
And you're here for your panel discussion called Power and Privilege. Tell us about that.
So from what I know, we're going to be talking about power dynamics in relationships in my novel, An Onslaught of Light. So I think the focus is going to be the father-daughter relationship. So between Art Sharma, who is the daughter, and her father, Vijay. It's quite fraught. There's a lot of power play between the two of them. So I anticipate that that's what we'll be talking about.
And this is in your novel, The Onslaught of Light?
An Onslaught of Light, yes.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that novel.
So An Onslaught of Light follows the Sharma family. They moved from India to Australia in the 90s. It's told through three viewpoints. So Art Sharma, who's the daughter, Indu Sharma, the mum, and Vijay Sharma, the dad. And so the novel starts in the present day when we meet Art, who's living her perfect life alone and isolated. And then she's forced into caring for her father. And when she does, she has to confront a long-buried grief and her cultural and queer identity.
So I'm interested too, because I understand this is a multi-POV novel.
Yep.
So what drew you to writing multiple points of view?
So it started with Art, as she came to me very strongly. And as I was writing it, I realised that with migration stories, there's more than one perspective, and a child's perspective on their migration experiences will be quite different to an adult. And there was no way I could possibly show that through art. So it made sense to me to then bring in her parents. And even with adults, you know, obviously it's so nuanced, and I really wanted to show just how difficult, but beautiful and challenging and joyful it can be to move and find a new home. So that's how that came about.
So you're talking about beauty and joy there, but we're also talking about power dynamics.
Yep.
So I guess what's the theme of your book? Like what are you exploring really?
Forgiveness, grief, definitely power, because, you know, power is held by different people at different times throughout the lifespan of these characters. So, you know, as a child, Art probably has the least power, as most children do, and then her parents have differing levels of kind of privilege. Then when they go out into the world in this Australia that they are unfamiliar with, there are people who hold power that they can't possibly have, like, you know, the people at the employment office or people at the immigration service, that they have difficulty navigating that.
Mm. And you're a podcaster too, right?
I am,
you
yes.
host the Book Deal podcast.
Yeah.
So how have you been following your journey in that podcast as well, your journey towards publication and so on?
I love doing that podcast because I get to talk to other writers about, you know, their journeys. And the more I speak to writers, the more I realize how varied everyone's publication journey is. Mine was as well. That's one of my favorite things about the podcast, and also just getting good, really good writing tips. Like, I'm a little bit of a hoarder now with writing tips.
Sounds like a good scam you've got going.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
But then you're sharing them.
We're not sharing them.
But as podcasters ourselves, you know, we started writing podcasts with the intention of improving our writing as well. But that also takes away so much time from actual writing. So it's amazing that you've managed to actually...
Full disclosure, I only do one episode a month. Mm-hmm. So Tina Strawn and Madeline Cleary, the three of us do the podcast together. So yeah, I do one episode a month, which for me right now is manageable. I don't know if I could do any more. Because as you say, it does take a lot of time. Yeah.
But yeah. Worth it if you're getting the sneaky tips.
How do you manage it?
Oh, we don't.
We don't. We just do the work and barely write, I think.
That's it. It has absolutely taken our writing time. But, you know, we're filling our creative buckets in other ways, I guess. So, you know.
So how did you find the experience of actually finishing this novel and getting it published?
So the publication process, like before I signed my contract with Pantera Press, was excruciating.
Yeah.
There's no other word for it. It was very long. So I wrote a first draft of An Onslaught of Light in 2017.
Okay.
And over the years, it's just been knocked back. And, you know, as most publication journeys, you get glimmers of hope, you know, like I've got longlisted for some prizes and I'm like, okay, this is it. I've got an agent and I'm like, okay, this is it. And it was never it.
Yes.
But all those moments kept me going that every time I was longlisted, I thought, okay, well, there's something here.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that for the next one, it's not going to take 8 years again. I mean, I've got it in me to slog it out for 8 years if I have to, but I'm hoping no.
And that's, I find that interesting too, following other my friends, their publication journeys, that it's like you keep thinking you've won the battle kind of thing. And it's that thing where you get to the top of the mountain and then you look and there's another mountain kind of situation. So even becoming published is no guarantee that book two will be kicked up or what have you.
I think you described it yesterday as like when you get the publishing deal, you think of it as the end, but you're just on the ladder, like you've just climbed onto the ladder and that's when the real
journey
starts.
Yeah, and then you have a whole new world of not even maybe worries, but considerations that before it was just to get published. Now it's like, okay, well, how are sales doing? Will I have a second book? What will it be?
The pressure to sell a first book is huge because, you know, you want your next one to be picked up and the better you sell the first one, the more chance you have.
Yeah. All the things you don't have to worry about before you get published and then,
No, well, it is impressive that you survived years and years of the torture of querying. So what would your advice be to other authors who are in that process now?
What got me going or kept me going was having other writers. So I could really, like, when you talk to people who are not writers and they're like, oh, you know, oh, that sucks and it'll happen, don't worry. It feels a little meaningless, even if people mean well.
Mm.
But having another writer who goes, oh, my God, that sucks. And you can really, they really get it. They really get how crushing it can be.
Yeah.
So I think definitely that.
And you're also watching their struggles too. And okay, it's not just me and my problem. It's just universal.
And there's something about it as well, like when you have your little community, your friends getting published. For me, it was a double-edged sword of I'm a little bit envious, but also this, if someone I know is getting published, it means it's not just random famous people. It's like people I know, people whose work I know. So that helps as well.
Yeah, I find a similar thing with when you pick up a book on the shelf and you think, oh, like, I could never do this. And you get so intimidated. This is like amazing literary work. Then you pick up another book and you're like, this is crap. I could do better than this. Like, I'm somewhere in the middle there. You know, and you think you can fit on the shelf somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I guess you take whatever motivation you can get, but like, it must feel really good to actually, at the end of the day, have that book done and it on the bookshelf.
Oh yeah. Like the seeing it on the shelf is like obviously the dream come true, but it's also almost surreal. Like, it's like, I can't believe that's mine. I can't believe I wrote that.
Yeah. Mm. Especially after so long.
I know. Yeah.
But interesting that you're on a panel, Power and Privilege, when that's a huge component of publishing too.
Well, if you want to get traditionally published, yes, there are many gatekeepers and there are many hoops you've got to jump through, definitely.
And certainly for some people, you know, you talked about famous people or whatever, they have a little leg up in that power situation, the privilege situation, I suppose, to get their work published.
This is one of Amanda's little bugbears, is celebrity authors who every single celebrity has a novel or a children's book.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not every celebrity. It's when it's like they just slap their name on it, like a sports sponsorship deal kind of thing. That's when I get bothered, I think. Not so much, like, good on them if they've written a book and they have a platform. Like, go for it. That's what we all aspire to. But I think it's those disingenuous ones.
Well, it is the power and privilege point, right? Like, there's a fast track to doing it that some people can just get on.
Exactly.
With very little effort,
exactly.
But everyone else has to put in the 8 years of work.
Exactly. But what I tell myself about that is, for every sports biography or ghost-written book that my publisher publishes that will sell millions of copies, it means I have money in the pot to publish something like
to take a risk.
Mine.
Yeah, it is very
So that's how I'm framing it to make myself feel better.
You've got got a much better attitude. But that's maybe because you're published now, you get to have the better attitude. If I ever get published, then I'll be like, oh.
I know, you can be almost magnanimous. Like, oh, yeah, like, it's so fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, ask me 2 years ago, I was probably like going, ah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Definitely the envy comes in. But yeah, there's plenty of room on the shelves. There's all these books need to be published in my view.
Well, even before getting published, I always thought that the more stories we publish, the more readers we find. It's not the other way around that the door closes. It's like, here's a story that has similar themes, but it's slightly different in this way. And here's the nuanced thing about this. And it's like, you'll just find more and more readers who are like, yeah, that one. That one's the one I connect with.
And I think that's a big thing about publishing as well that's interesting, is that you're not in competition. You're actually, you each feed each other's success in a way. And if you're encouraging readers to read your book, they might read another book in a similar vein. So it's nice to have that and not be like, oh, I've got to directly compete. God knows they can read them a lot faster than they can be written, right?
So, and sometimes publishers create that sense of competition, but I feel like I know that, and once again, it comes back to power, we don't have a lot, but what we can do is not buy into that and feel that, you know, because I hear people say this, like friends of mine who are writers who are trying to get published, like, well, now there's a story out there, something that I'm writing, so therefore I can't. I'm like, no, this means you definitely can.
Yeah.
Because it means there's now a marketplace or someone has decided that there is readers for that, which means get in there, like, do it.
It's such a good point, because it can be discouraging when you've taken 8 years or whatever it is to write a book, and then someone like gets in there just before you. But as you say, like, you know, that doesn't negate, and
not
in fact,
at all.
Can be a selling point if that book does
exactly
well.
I mean, that's really how they market a lot of titles, isn't it?
Like,
similar to
comparisons.
I mean, that's the thing you have to do when you're pitching. What's your comp titles?
Exactly. And what are your comp titles?
Well, at the time, Pantera was saying Jessie 2.
Okay.
Yep. So it feels very fitting. Yep. Mm-hmm. And maybe Zoya Patel.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though she's written memoir and mine's fiction.
But I guess it's fiction, but it's realistic fiction. It's not something way out there. So.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it is a theme that's very common for people at the moment, the immigrant experience. I'm an immigrant to Australia. And so I think a lot of Australians are, and that story and those struggles resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's that weird place you inhabit, which this is home and not really, and the place you left is home and not really, so you're kind of in the middle. And
you have parents who are in that culture
and
feel like a little bit of a bridge between cultures as well, so... Yeah. So what's next for you on the horizon? You're kind of loving the fact that this is now published and out there. Are you working on another?
Oh, yeah. Well, because it took so long to get Onslaught published, I'm one of those people that I can't, it's just too much for me to just put everything in one basket and hope. So I just kept writing. So I've actually got, two other manuscripts.
Amazing.
Well, it's 8 years, so it's not like so I'm working on something new at the moment and just... seeing how my publisher might feel about submitting something to them.
And is it something in a similar vein? Is it a...
No, it's quite different.
Okay.
So, which is exciting for me. Because
but publishers hate it.
I'm telling myself, because I write literary fiction, I've got a bit more room to maneuver, because from what I understand, like genre fiction writers can get a bit, I don't know, especially in the early days, like you have to write a certain way and then you can, I don't know, spread your wings. But I'm like, no, I'm going to spread my wings now. Hopefully.
You should. Yeah.
This could be like famous last words.
Now we're going to get the sequel and the prequel.
Well, thank you, Natasha. Is there anything you wanted to mention or put forward before we kind of wrap up?
No, thanks for having me. It's been a really nice chat.
Thank you very much for joining us. This has been a special presentation of the Not Quite Right podcast in collaboration with Words on the Waves Writers Festival. Check the show notes for more information about Words on the Waves and the books mentioned in this episode. If you're new to the podcast, please join us again for our regular episodes where we talk about media, culture, and the art of writing. Something that is